This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. So America, let's hear God's message, His Bible, His love letter. Please open your King James Bible to Psalm 120, where we left off last time, Psalm 120, verse 1. As you know by now, we're in what is called the Deuteronomy Book of Psalms, and that means these are the words of God, and that's what we want to hear, His words. Psalm 120 will help you very much if you have ears to hear today. Psalm 120, all of this series of songs, will help you get out of distress, help you trust the Lord, and deliver you from your mess. These are called songs of degrees. There are 15 of them, from 120 through 134. Now, a degree means a step. So we have 15 steps. So in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask the Holy Spirit will raise every hearer's anointing, understanding, sanctification, love of God, Holy Spirit fire, 15 steps as we go these 15 steps. Now, many scholars have decided what the 15 steps mean. Some say it's the steps the house of Judah took when they went back to Jerusalem in David's time and also then in Hezekiah's time to worship the Lord at Passover or at the Feast of Weeks or at the Feast of Tabernacles. These are the three feasts of God, and we still observe them to the date. Feast of Weeks is now called Pentecost, and Passover is the day that we celebrate Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It's actually called that in the manuscripts. Tabernacle is when God comes to dwell with us. Now, some scholars say it's the steps of the children of Judah when they came out of captivity after 70 years captivity in Babylon. Now, some scholars say it means that the choir was to sing these 15 songs one note higher, step higher. And some scholars say that the choir was to sing these psalms, remember, psalm is a song, on the steps of the temple. Well, now, David's tent didn't have enough steps, and there were not 15 steps to the temple in Hezekiah's time. However, this is a prophetic word. We studied Ezekiel in the Millennium Temple, and that will be the future temple where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will live there in that Millennium Temple with the elect, with King David, and with others. The tribes will be in front, and the Gentiles will be all around, rejuvenated heaven on earth. There are seven steps to the outer court and eight steps to the inner court. Now, what does God's Word actually say about these steps? We always find the truth in God's Word. 2 Kings chapter 20, good King Hezekiah was the king of Judah. And he was very, very sick, nigh unto death. He was on his sickbed. God told the prophet Isaiah, "Go and tell Hezekiah, get your house in order, because you're going to die." When Isaiah told Hezekiah that, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. Ezekiel tells us that God is our wall. And Hezekiah wept and said, "Lord, all these years I have followed you faithfully." Hezekiah was only 40 years old, and he had no heirs. And he said, "Father, you promised my father, King David, that there would always be someone to sit on the throne of Judah. if you let me die now, I have no heirs, and you will break your promise. Well, that did it with God, because God's not a man that he should lie. God does not alter his covenant. Whatever he says is yes and amen. So God stopped Isaiah, said, go back and tell Hezekiah that I will add 15 years. There's the 15 degrees to his life. Now, he still had 3 days. God said, you'll be healed in 3 days. See, delay does not mean denial. From the time of the promise, you must wait patiently, and then you'll have the harvest. Do you understand? So Hezekiah, being traumatized, said, well, how do I know you're going to heal me? I'm still lying here in this bed sick. See, you're in your distress. You prayed for someone. You're still in your misery. How do I know you really are going to help me, even though your word says so, God? How can I trust your word? God says, all right, Isaiah, give Hezekiah a sign. Tell him I will turn the sundial forward 10 degrees, or I will turn the sundial backwards 10 degrees. His choice. Hezekiah said, well, time naturally goes forward. Of course, that would be fast forward. But he said, turn it back 10 degrees. Only God could stop time and turn it back 10 degrees. And that is what happened. Now, there are 15 songs of degrees. Hezekiah wrote 10 of them. 15 for the years God added to his life. And the 10 that he wrote, King David wrote 4. And Solomon wrote 1. Now, this particular series of Psalms is such a blessing to you if you will apply it. You know, you can hear the word all day long, but until you do it, it's of no value to you. All through these 15 songs of degree, there is a pattern of threes. One psalm will be distress. The next psalm will be trust. The next song will be deliverance, and then comes blessings and peace. So Psalm 120 is entitled Distress. Many of you are in great distress. Now, Hezekiah knows how you feel. You see, in the body of Christ, if you're a real member, you always feel the distress of the other person. You feel their pain. So Hezekiah wrote it down just for you.
Psalm 120, a song of degrees, verse 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Verse 2, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue.
Now, prophetically, very soon, the sixth trumpet is going to sound, and that will be the devil with his Jesus costume on, coming in the sky beautiful, and he's going to make you think he's going to fly you away, but it's the Antichrist, the devil, and he's coming with a lying tongue, and he's going to deceive the whole world. The whole world will call him God and half the body of Christ. But what is Hezekiah's problem here? Sennacherib had sent his top general, Rabshakeh, right up to the wall of Jerusalem. Rabshakeh, Sennacherib's top general, had already captured 46 fenced walled cities of Judah. And there was Jerusalem. And he was on the wall. And Rabshakeh shouted in Hebrew, he was Syriac, but he could speak Hebrew, to the Israelite watchmen on the wall Hezekiah had of them watching for the enemy. And he said to them, you surrender to me right now. And if you don't, you're never coming off that wall. You're going to get hungry and you're going to get thirsty. So hungry and thirsty, you're going to have to eat and drink your own bodily waste. The Bible says it a little bit more graphic than that. So you see, that was a lying tongue. Now you're in your distress. And the lying devil comes to you and says, there is no way out. My marriage is never going to be work out. I'm never going to get the raise. I'm never going to get well. There's never going to be this. That's a lie. So let's carry on and see what happens here. Distress.
Verse 3, what shall be given unto thee? Or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue?
Done here means what's going to be added unto your lying tongue. Well, prophetically, the devil is going to walk into the lake of fire, and all who follow him, prepared for the devil and his angels at the end of the millennium, and be no more. But what happened to Rabshakeh? Now listen to what God did. Hezekiah was truly a bird in a cage. His whole country had been captured. There he was, shall we say, in the White House in Jerusalem. There's Rabshakeh with hundreds of thousands of the enemy armies. It was the very 11th hour, and the clock was about to strike 12. Too late, no hope. God sent a rumor in the enemy's camp and whispered in the enemy's army's ears and said, your own home is being attacked. It's an emergency. Turn back and go and fight for your home. Rabshakeh turned around. He said, we'll come back and get this Hezekiah. We better go save our own land. But what was done unto them? God struck 185,000 of those mean old army men dead. They were already in God's children's territory. God can wipe out the enemy whenever they are ensconced, even in authority in God's land.
Amen.
Now, he's about to tell us how God did it. God is so exciting. Listen to how God did this.
Four sharp arrows of the mighty with coats of juniper.
Okay, juniper is a plant that, I mean, if you even had a little cold with just a little tiny bit of warmth, the juniper plant just burns easily. And the arrows are God's lightning. God sent lightning bolts and burned them to a crisp, a type and shadow of the lake of fire for the devil and all who follow him. And beware, Christians, the devil's coming first, pretending to be Christ. Jesus is not coming before him. Jesus comes as the last one out. The first one's going to look like Jesus, two horns of a lamb, but he's the voice of a dragon. The lamb is Jesus. The dragon is the devil. It's a deception. One thing about the deceiver, when he comes, the devil is going to be able to call down lightning from heaven. So see, if you do not know God's word and the order, chronological order of events, you would think that were God calling down the lightning. Know God's word, you won't be deceived.
Five, woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar.
Hezekiah had been so very surrounded by the enemy so long. Now, Kedar means the cruel and merciless people. Now, these would be the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, the offspring of Cain, and Cain being the child of the devil. Mesach is found in Ezekiel 38 and 39. That is Russia. Now, the Bible says that the Kenites of Mount Seir, the cruel and merciless people, some of them are in ISIS, and some of them are even in America supporting ISIS. And it says, those are Kedar. They are going to join with Russia. That would be Meshach. And they are going to come against the house of Israel. It'll be called the Battle of Hamengog. You always need to remember, there are 12 tribes of Israel. They are divided into two houses. They are not in the same place. Two of them are the house of Judah. The crown of Judah is in England. Remember, God promised David there would always be someone to wear the crown. Jeremiah made sure that a daughter of the last king of Judah married in. That's it, Queen Elizabeth. That's part of the tribe of Judah. But the house of Judah is in the land of Israel, our beloved Benjamin Netanyahu. But the house of Israel, the 10 tribes, actually were captured by this same Sennacherib 200 years before he tried to capture, before Jerusalem went into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And they migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe, migrated over the Atlantic Ocean, settled Canada and these United States. The 10 tribes, we are the house of Israel. That doesn't mean everybody in America, but the seed here. So you need to know that. So Hezekiah says, I'm so surrounded by that. I'm so tired of the enemy being so close to me.
Six, my soul hath long dwelt with him that hated peace. Seven, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war.
Now, King Hezekiah was battle-weary. He had prayed, and there he was alone. There was no one to encourage him. There was no one there to understand the heavy burden that was on his head. And so to save Jerusalem, he did something that was unwise, he did not, it was not a sin, but it was not wisdom. When Sennacherib took those 46 fenced cities, Hezekiah wrote him a letter of apology. Hezekiah did an apology tour and said, please forgive me for offending you, Sennacherib. I must have offended you for you to come and take 46 of my cities. So please forgive me. I am sorry. I apologize. Sennacherib, said Hezekiah, what can I do to save Jerusalem? So Sennacherib, licking at the chops, said, okay, I want to see all the wealth, all you've got there. Give me 300 talents of gold and 30 talents of silver. So King Hezekiah made a peace treaty with the enemy. The enemy had no intention of making peace. He took the loot and was still planning to kill, to steal, and destroy. Never make a treaty with the enemy. He is not your friend. You can't buy him off. The devil wants you dead, and the devil wants you to walk into the lake of fire at the end of the millennium. King Hezekiah took the gold off the temple doors and gave it to him. Peace treaty. America, America. The enemy said, death to America, death to America. We heard it. Don't make a peace treaty with the enemy. He'll take all our loot and kill us still. Amen. Have mercy. Learn, O children. Learn, O America, from God's word. What has been will be again. These things happen to them for examples for those of us at the end time.
Psalm 121, a song of degrees.
Okay, now that was the song of distress, 120. Now this is for you. You're in distress. Now, Psalm 121 is trust. Hezekiah is going to decide to trust in the Lord. America is gone. We have been captured. We are not free anymore. All of our laws have been broken. We have no one to help us, but we're going to trust in the Lord.
One, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help.
It had been the habit of the kings of Judah to go to other nations for help when the enemy came upon them. Like our nation goes to our enemy China to borrow money so we can give it to all of these people who won't work, and yet God takes it from those of us, the government takes it from those of us who do work and gives it to them. And so see, that's our enemy. They want to kill us. And so let's go in and listen to this again.
To my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth.
And normally they would go down to Egypt. God said, do not go to Egypt. God said, don't ever go to any other nation to help you. Rely on God. But when they did that, the children of Judah would look over the hills of Jerusalem and the allies would be coming. But Hezekiah said, not this time. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to pray that the commander-in-chief of the heavenly host, Elion, will come and fight for us. Do you remember the prophet Elisha? He and his servant were surrounded by human armies. They were coming to kill the man of God. Everybody wants to kill the man of God because, after all, it gets you out of your comfort zone, doesn't it, Christians? And, of course, the devil wants you out of the way so you won't pull the baby Christians up a little bit. And so Elisha said, the servant said to Elisha, Master, look, we're surrounded. They're going to kill us. And Elisha said, I pray thee, Lord, open the eyes of the young man that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and behold, the host of heaven, all of the warring angels of heaven, thousands and thousands of them were surrounding. Hallelujah. The battle is the Lord's.
Three, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Four, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep.
Now, Hezekiah's building up his faith on the Word of God, which is found in 1 Kings 18. When the prophet Elijah came against the 400 prophets of Baal, under the direction of Jezebel and Menol Ahab, her husband, Elijah said to the 400 prophets, I tell you what we do. Let's find out which one of us worships the true God. Elijah, wiser than a serpent and harmless as dove, he said, let's take two oxen and you Baal boys, you 400 false prophets, you Baal boys, you put an oxen on the altar and then I'll put an oxen on the altar. And whichever oxen is devoured by fire from heaven, that will be the true God. So he said, you go first. You see, the elect are gentlemen and ladies. And so the Baal boys put their altar on their oxen on the altar. And they jumped up and down and did a range hand and they cried and they screamed and the day went on, the time went on and they cut themselves. Elijah, standing back, taunted them and he said, cry a little louder. Maybe your God went on a trip. Or maybe your God's in pursuit. Know what that means in Hebrew? Maybe he had to go to the bathroom. And he said, or maybe your God is asleep. But of course, the Baal boys lost because there was no God for them. Then it came Elijah's turn, and he put his oxen on the altar, this man of God. Then he did something very unusual. He poured water on the oxen, water on the altar, dug a trench round about it, and filled it with water. Man's adversity is God's opportunity. You know what Elijah wanted to do? He wanted to show people that God is not just a God that can heal your headache, but can heal your cancer. God is not just a God limited to saving a few people in America, but saving the entire nation of America if the church and the body of Christ will ever get it, and we'll pray. The whole nation. Oh, how we limit God. You think he can just give you that part-time job with a little bit of money? Well, he can make you the president of the United States of America, Christian, saying Jesus and the Bible. God is powerful. Well, of course, Elijah prayed, the fire came down, and the fire licked up the water. See, it's usually the opposite. God neither slumbers nor sleeps. So when you're troubled on your bed, you might as well go to sleep. God's awake.
Amen. 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand.
Keeper is that beautiful Hebrew word, shamar, hedges you about and is your defense.
6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night.
When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they camped there in the desert. The days were so very hot, so God shaded them by being a cloud in the daytime. In the desert, it was so cold when the moon came out and God was a pillar of fire. Now, elect, when it's too hot for everybody else, it's just right for you. When the enemy turns up the oven heat 7 times hotter, the Daniel Hebrew boys, remember that? It's just right for you. You will breathe in the furnace. That is, if you're an elect. If you're sincere about this, if you yield, if you've given all, if you obey, if you have died to yourself and let Jesus live his life through you. Hallelujah. Amen.
7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil.
By the way, the moon being cold, when all the people have turned cold to you, and have no comprehension of the fire burning in your bones, and they've frozen you out with their rebellious spirit, you're still warmed by the fire of God. He never leaves you, and he never forsakes you. The evil here is the evil one.
He shall preserve thy soul. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore.
He will keep you, shamar you about, and protect you in all of your daily activities. From the time you awaken every morning, right then, turn to Him. Let Him be your guide all the day.
Psalm 122, a Song of Degrees of David.
Now we have David, who wrote four of these. If anybody knew about distress, if anybody knew about trusting in the Lord, if anybody knew about deliverance and therefore receiving blessings and peace, it was David. David lived quite a few generations before Hezekiah, but he was called his father because they were both of the house of Judah. Now this one is called Deliverance, Blessings, and Peace in Jerusalem. See, you were in distress when you first started hearing this, but you've already trusted in the Lord. Now here comes your deliverance, which brings you blessings, not only in peace in the eternal Jerusalem, but peace in your heart now, if you trust the Lord. That second one is crucial.
Verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
When King David brought the Ark of the Covenant, and of course God's presence was there so powerfully, back to Jerusalem and put it in David's tent, David, being a musician, just choreographed the most beautiful drama. It was a pageant. They had musical instruments, and they sang, and they danced, and David danced before the Lord. He twirled like a ballerina. What a happy time. And then when King Hezekiah reopened the temple, he invited not only his own, the house of Judah, but he invited the 10 tribes, the house of Israel, to come to Jerusalem. And it was the greatest, happiest Passover ever. Were you glad to come to the house of the Lord today? Or did you come in with a long face, waiting for somebody in there to feel sorry for you and pick you up? Or did you leave your burdens behind and know that the Lord is there, Bethel, the house of God? It is a sin for us to approach our God with our poor little me attitude. Yes, you have problems. We tell our problems to the Lord. We pray for our problems, but when you were a child, you acted like a child. You have a God who will deliver you. You have a place to come, the house of God, where you are loved, where you will find peace, where you'll find deliverance, where you'll find God's presence, and in His presence is fullness of joy. Amen. Be glad. Yes. Shout, dance. Hallelujah. I want to see y'all start dancing on the pathway up to this Bethel.
Verse 2, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. 3, Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together.
Compact together means compounded by bridges. Now, we're going to, when at the end of the millennium, God the Father, Revelation 21, is going to bring the heavenly Jerusalem down on earth, and everything's going to be restored. Heaven will be here on earth. All evil will be gone. God is going to restore the acreages, which makes it like a bridge, and so that everybody can get to Jerusalem.
4, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord.
In the millennium time, there in the millennium temple will be God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit coming like a stream, watering the world with the word. And the word shall cover the earth as the waters that cover the sea. In the millennium temple right in Jerusalem, this Jerusalem right here, the heavenly new one, everything cleaned up, there will be the Zadok around Jesus, the elect, who did not go astray. And then there will be King David, the prince, and there will be others. Right in front of the Millennium Temple, Ezekiel says, there will be areas for all 12 tribes. And then beyond that, because the acreage is restored, will be all of the Gentiles. They will all have their place. Everybody has an allotment. But the Bible says that every year, all those who do not live in Jerusalem will go up once a year to worship the King, shall go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be the capital of the universe. The Ark of the Covenant is sometimes called the Ark of the Testimony, meaning that's where the presence of the Lord is. And the Ark of the Testimony will be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, reigning forever and ever.
To give thanks unto the name of the Lord. 5, for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David.
Now, Revelation 20 says they, the elect, shall rule and reign with Jesus 1,000 years. Reign means to teach. For those who overcome and are the elect, we will do a disciplined form of teaching right there. And so we have that authority with Jesus during that millennium to help. But the point is, we give our crowns to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, one King, Jesus.
6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. 7. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. 8. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee.
Now he says, I'm going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and you're supposed to pray for that. We pray for that for our beloved brother Benjamin Netanyahu, because that is going to be our home, and even the Gentiles will go there. Why do we pray that? Why do you pray for that? Is it so you'll be safe, so you'll get to go there, so you'll be happy, so you and your little group will be okay? Or have you grown out of that and you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the other brothers and sisters, other members of the body of Christ? Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, that even as I kneel to pray, my prayer might be for others.
9. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good.
The house of the Lord, Jerusalem, God's eternal place. He married Jerusalem in Ezekiel 16. He said, this will be my eternal home, and we will seek the good, and the Lord is good. How we love this. You're in distress. You trust in the Lord. He will deliver you and bring blessings and peace to you, as well as peace in Jerusalem. God bless you. It's time now for a mystery moment. Paul tells us to learn the mystery of God. Now, Jesus comes at the last trumpet out. He does not sneak in to snatch you away first. That is a story started by Margaret MacDonald, a demented woman in 1832. And a misunderstanding of the phrase caught up in the air. Air means to change into the breath of the spirit body, which is what we're all going to do when Jesus comes. And so, now the Antichrist comes at the sixth trump. He's about ready to come, and he's going to call himself God's Savior, Theosata in the Greek. But only Jesus is the Savior. He will look like Jesus. He'll say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper, and do signs and lying wonders, bringing down lightning from heaven. If you go to him, he's got his Jesus costume on, you will have married the devil. However, to keep you from doing that, we're in the fifth seal and the fifth trumpet now, which is the time of learning. Joel 2 says, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. So please blow the trumpet of truth, please. Questions and answers. Dear Sherry Trumpet, have you heard of the scarlet thread people, and is that in the Bible? Yes, I've heard of the scarlet thread people, and yes, it's in the Bible. They're also called the red thread people or the red-handed people. They are now called the House of Usta, and that would be in Great Britain, the documentation there. They are descendants of Rahab in Joshua. She's called Rahab the harlot. Rahab was a woman of God. She knew the Lord. She was a businesswoman. She gathered stalks of flax, so many of them. She had them covering her roof. It took a lot of work to do that. She would take them and spin them. And then the material into which she would spin them, she would go out and gather the crimson worm, which is a scarlet red dye, and dye them. Merchants came from all over the place to buy this business one, Rahab's fine linen. It was the very best. Her father lived with her, her mother lived with her, her brethren, and her sister. There were no motels, no hotels, so she let them stay overnight in her home there. And so the jealous people, methinks, called her a harlot. You know, a woman can be exceptionally well and successful in business, especially in early America, or politics, and they always say that she slept with a man to get to the top. So we'll just leave that there. But the scarlet thread people still exist. Rahab actually married one of the Israelites, and she is in Jesus' genealogy. And it said she knew the Lord, and she let down these two spies that came to spy out Jericho. She let them down on the wall. She hid them under a flax with a scarlet red thread. And she said, I know the Lord's given you this Jericho. She said, but when you come back to take the land, please spare my father, my mother, my brethren, and my sister. She didn't even ask for herself. And they said, put a scarlet red, take that linen cloth and make it into a rope of thread. Put it in the window. And when we see the scarlet thread, when we see the red, death will pass over you. Same thing as in the Exodus, the Passover. When God sees the blood, the red blood over you, death will pass over you. Hallelujah. Which leads to the next question. Is Rahab really a harlot? Okay. Well, I just explained, she was very busy if she was a harlot. I mean, it took a long time to gather all that flax, and she put it on the roof, then she had to spin it, then she had to go out and get these crimson worms and all kind of berries and dye it, and then she sold it, and she lived there with her father and her mother. I really believe it was just her reputation. Here's why. She knew the Lord. She said, I know the Lord has sent you. And then she married one of those Israelites. They wouldn't have married a harlot. And she's in Jesus' genealogy. It's kind of, you say, well, but it's in the Bible. It says Rahab the harlot. I know. When I was a little girl, I have curly hair. They call me Curly, but my name's not Curly. Okay. Look at the book of Job. Job never did sin. And listen to the preachers preaching what Job's miserable comforter said. What they said was a lie. All of those 30-something pages of Job's friends, even Elihu, that everybody, I heard a great worldwide preacher sermon on him because he was closest to the devil. All the devil knows the scripture, and they thought he was great wise. No, not a one of those friends told Job the truth. Everything they said was a lie. God put it in the Bible so you know the difference between a lie and the truth. Do you understand? Okay, I tell you the truth. If I were doing this and you were sitting there, I'd clap and I'd shout. However, you're dead and I'm alive. Okay. God bless you all. Okay. Dear Sherry, what does Joshua's name mean anyway? His name means Yahweh's Savior, because the way you say Joshua in the Hebrew is Yeshua. You say Jesus, Yeshua. Jesus is Yahweh's Savior. Also, the name Hosea, the minor prophets, that is Yeshua, Yahweh's Savior. Joshua was a type of a Savior when he led the people into the Promised Land. Time for one more question. When Joshua went in to take the city of Jericho, God had him get all of the people together, and they followed the Ark of the Covenant, which was carried by the Levitical priesthood. Sherry, what was in the Ark? There were the stone, the tablet with the Ten Commandments. Remember, God had written them with his finger. There was a jar of manna, the manna that God fed them every day. And there was Aaron's rod that budded. Now, that story is found in the book of Numbers. The other tribes got jealous of Aaron and said, we can do this as well as you. We're chosen also. So God said, okay, we'll find out who's chosen. God said, let someone, every tribe, go find you an almond branch, a rod, put it in the Ark of the Covenant. And Aaron did too. And he said, the next morning, the rod that has budded overnight is the one I've chosen. Aaron's rod budded. Chosen from before the foundation of the earth. Praise the Lord. Now, for those of you who have been calling me, I appreciate your calls. I pray for every one of you every day of my life. My announcer will give you my telephone number at the end of this program, so continue calling. You may call me for any prayer request, and I love you, and I do thank you yesterday. Sweet lady, you called and said, I love your radio show. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That is so good of you. We do this for God's glory. You're going to hear me play a few phrases on the piano of the hour. Our Father, and I do this so that God will get all of the glory for all of the fruit that has just been produced during this program, because those words say, Father, in Jesus' name, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory. However, for those of you who are sick, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask now that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Let the pain stop. Let the frustration be gone. Let the rebellion be gone. Let there be a yielding now to the Holy Spirit and to the ways and the workings of God. Let diseases be gone. Jesus' stripes heals us all. With his stripes you are healed. He sent his word and healed you. Now, the greatest healing of all is the healing of your soul, because you are doomed to die except Jesus save you. If you're not saved, I ask the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin and draw you to call the name of the Lord and be saved. Please pray sincerely this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive my sins.
Please forgive my sins.
Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Live your life through me.
Live your life through me.
And use me.
And use me.
To bring many people.
Into the kingdom.
Of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You might like to also call and tell me you're saved. I want to invite you to come on Sundays at 5 p.m. here at my school, and Wednesdays 6:30 p.m. We always teach one book of the Bible, book, chapter, verse, and line, starting at the beginning, and then we begin each time where we left off last time. And we always offer a prayer for salvation, healing, and on Wednesdays, we pray fervently for the United States of America. It is a sin for Christians not to pray for America, because you live here and you're letting the devil take your territory. We're in a battle and we must fight, and we are fighting and we're going to win, just like Hezekiah won. Now, my announcer is about to give you my number, but I want you to think of Jesus a lot, Yeshua, and remember this. His name is called the Word of God. I love you. The Lord bless and keep you, shimar you about. And God willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
say blind man who is not blind anymore. Everybody's talking, how can this be? A little mud, a gentle touch, now he can see. And he squints up at the night, and he wipes his tears away, and he whispers when he sees his healer's face. The father's who has lost his little girl. He begs the healer, come to her side. A whispered word, the daughter stirs. Now she's alive, never by the door. Her father stands amazed. When he tells the story, he will say, I never dreamed I would see such a sight.
picture the view, everything new. If you believe tonight, storm down the doors, tomorrow is yours. Say it long as you have faith enough. Pray through the night, you'll be alright. Say it long as you have faith enough.
Hail to the King. to the King, hail to the living Word. Let praise arise.
Listening to WMIE, Bavard's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
My light, my strength, my song, this cry.